Today is January the 23rd, Monday, the day of the Lakeland Housing Regular Board meeting. Now in session, the time is now 6:05.
The time is now 6:07. This is the regular meeting of the Lakeland Housing Authority on January 23rd, 2007. We have a quorum.
Yes, sir.
I pledge allegiance
to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Moment of silence. Amen. You can be seated. There is a quorum. We have a quorum. We're waiting for the chairman, who was on his way. He'll be here momentarily, as well as Commissioner Paul.
So we got him.
We'll get to it. Hey, gentlemen, how you doing? So we will we'll go forward with the agenda, the approval of the meeting agenda. So all the commissioners in accord with the meeting agenda, anything has to be added or changed. Okay, hearing nothing, we'll move on. Approval of the minutes. The regular meeting on November 21st. Did anybody get a chance to review them in their package?
Yes, sir.
Any questions? Okay, I'll entertain a motion.
I move that we accept the minutes as yes.
Do I hear a second?
A second.
It moves and seconded that the minutes be approved as printed. If you heard the motion, are you ready for the question? All those in favor signify that by the sign of aye. Oh, roll call, I'm sorry.
Commissioner Richardson?
Aye.
Commissioner DeCesare?
Aye.
Commissioner Sanders?
Aye.
Commissioner Robinson?
Aye.
And Commissioner Perry?
Aye.
And he was on the phone at the last meeting.
Oh, so I guess that counts.
Okay. Anybody here for the public forum? Anybody wishing to speak to the commissioners? Mm-hmm. Yeah. Ron Brown.
How you doing there, Warren?
It's fine, but even when you finish, would you at least fill out our form?
Okay.
Yeah. Brenda, make sure you sign the appropriate form.
Yeah, I signed maybe the wrong one. Just wanted to say good evening to everyone. It's been a long time since I visited with the Housing Authority. And I want to say that I appreciate what you do and continue to do a good job. And if you don't see me, that means that you must be doing something okay. And when you do see me,
I get nervous.
I have a good evening, good morning.
Always glad to have you, Doc.
Thank you.
Okay. Anything on the new business?
No, sir.
We'll move right into the recovery meeting. The recovery meeting was held on Thursday, January 19th. Commissioner Hall and myself were in attendance. The update is as follows. On the 10th Street property, we've received the permit from the city that we were waiting for, and now we're just waiting for the permit from the Department of Transportation, which we don't think will be any problem, but we just have to wait for it, and then we'll be able to start to move forward.
Oh, no, I just want to make sure my phone was on vibrate.
Oh,
I'm sorry.
No,
I just wanted to make sure.
That's okay.
I apologize.
It's when he makes those southern moves.
Sorry.
Okay, the Williamstown construction is on the next side. We did get the final sign-up on that.
We have in the process of, there were issues with the clear title have been worked out.
Right,
and we have to submit a revised plan to HUD, which we don't expect any issues. And the reason for that is because in order to comply with the requirements of the restriction, we had to add some additional services on site for the seniors. Right. And since we're doing that, we meet the definition that's the restriction that was clear title.
Okay. Okay, so we're moving forward on that.
Yeah.
I have a question. I'm just wondering who has the title now. When you're saying you need to get the title, is it the...
Who had the title? Because the title company, where did it from?
Well, when once you... the title would be with the clerk, and once the permit is given, and once it's time, it will come from the clerk and come to the housing authority.
Recorded.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. The problem with the title was getting kind of, there was on the previous property was a
there was a deed restriction.
There was a deed restriction
that limited the permitted uses on the property, and the permitted uses were like say a hotel or a senior facility, and we were originally proposing a multifamily there in a near elderly facility. And because we did not specifically have any on-site services for the seniors, there was a question as to whether or not, and that question was raised by the title company, as to whether or not we actually met the definition as described in the deed restriction. But once we added those additional services, we met the requirements of the deed restriction, therefore there would be no problem with not having the clear title without the last prohibited. Hindrance to obtaining the title. And so then we should hold the start construction in the next 30 days.
So it was more meeting the terms of the deed restriction to clarify the clause because it wasn't. Okay. Okay.
That's been removed.
As far as the construction, we have enough funds to, could we get enough funds to complete the job or will we have to go back to Trump and get more money?
Well, I hope we don't have to bother your president, but seriously, when you submit the deal to her, they basically confirm that the funds are there.
Okay.
And even though you have a change in administration and a change in party, they can't take those funds away because they're already committed.
Okay.
As far as an update on Westlake, we're going to be doing a remediation cleanup. Some contamination in the brownfields, so that's being done. That will be taken care of. We have a relocation plan for hopefully which we'll be able to implement by June. That is a plan to move the residents out and to be able to start facilitating the city. The city's going to do the review of the plan versus the HUD field office because they're kind of swamped, and that's what we said.
They'll do the environmental review.
The environmental
review. Of the site.
Yeah, that's what I meant.
Yeah.
And so it'll get done a lot quicker.
Yeah.
So that's where we are on Westlake. I don't know if you had an opportunity to see the plans for Westlake, how they're going to revise it. Okay, good. Don't want to make sure we missed. Did you miss anything?
But I read that the layout changed a little bit with the boundaries. And
right, but it does. That,
and that's typical.
Yeah.
Of development projects, you know, you have a plan, and then we get your financing because you want to have a X number of units, but you don't know until you get the tax credits. But then that's how much money you have and how many units to build. And then sometimes you have to change the design based upon the funding that's available. And so that's typical for any multifamily development project. So what I'm pointing out is that won't be the last time that happens.
Okay, on the projects I'm moving for Section 8, there was... on our submission to HUD, we left out sending them an email, so which means now we've got to resubmit the whole thing. So it's going to delay it about 60 days, but it's not going to be a major problem. We just missed one step in the process. The conversion to Yardi, the upgrade is just about finished, so thank God for that. And on under the housing operations. We received a Ross grant for $219,000 for 3 years. That's 319 for the 3 years. It's for training, working with the residents, and so right now the training is going on, and then we'll hire staff to come in and implement that. So that's a good kudos to the housing operations for submitting and getting that grant. We came up in the top 30% in the state for occupancy.
The country.
In the nation.
The nation.
In the country. So we were right up there. So
98.7.
That's great. That's terrific.
98.7.
Right. So we're doing
Richardson, good. Robert Richardson, Richardson.
Sure.
Of that 219,000, is it within line if we see the breakdown is how that money should be spent to help the residents?
It's all for the residents. It's
all for
job
the
training.
Well, yeah, but
if you want to see a copy of it, then that's not a problem.
No, not necessarily a copy, but how it's going to be spent. It's going to be spent to educate them, to take them on trips, to take them to baseball games.
No. It's not for travel.
Okay. Okay.
It's for job training.
It's job
and
training.
High skills, self-sufficiency. Because basically we have a contractor, WeCare, that's doing that now. They've been doing it for the last 2 years because we did not have the Ross grant for the last 2 years. Mm-hmm. And now the Ross, we got an award like, for the next 3 years to basically work with residents on job training, job placement, those types of things.
No frills attached. All the money's going to go.
I know. Last year they took it to the football game, which is good. They should be able to get out. I understand that in the baseball game, but if more of it's used towards education and towards jobs, that's better than.
Yeah.
And I don't have nothing wrong with going to football games and baseball games. I think they should get out somewhere.
Okay, all right, Commissioner.
But the point is still the same. Is it possible, or is it in line? For me to ask to see what would be going on as far as...
Well, you'll get a report from the
housing. Oh, okay.
Once we go through the in-house training and every time hiring staff, then we'll have a report.
We signed up everywhere. We haven't started receiving the funding yet.
Yeah, so we will receive an update every month. If you have questions of how it's going, you can certainly ask. Yeah, that's not a problem.
And if we're fortunate with... hiring the staff who we want to hire, you'll enjoy working with them.
I will enjoy working with them.
You'll enjoy working with that staff person.
Commissioner Hall has just joined us for the record.
How are you doing, sir?
Good.
Sorry. As far as the financials are concerned, the audit's in process. We have to have it completed by March 31st on the partnership. And then the audit on the LHA is February 28th. Right, Val?
Yes.
Thank you. Okay. Other than that, you have anything to add?
Just one update with the 10th Street property. The potential buyer was successful in obtaining their final permit from the Florida Department of Transportation on this past Friday. And so the next step is to proceed to a financial closing with Circle K, which they will do the week of February 13th. And sometime after they should be breaking ground and start construction.
Okay, so February 15th is when we should...
13th or 17th, sometime during that week.
Okay.
That week.
Great. Well, finally come to fruition, huh?
Yay.
Okay, very good. Here's Commissioner Pimentel. Chairman, you made it through the traffic.
Yeah.
We just finished the update. That completes the update on the recovery plan committee meeting.
Okay.
Done. Yep. Now we're down to reports.
On to reports?
Yep.
Okay, we're up to item number 6, Secretary's Reports, Housing Operations.
Submitted as written. I'll entertain questions.
Okay.
Anybody have any questions in regards to
Secretary's report?
Okay. Administration and Finance. I'm sure you went over that with the
housing.
No, housing first.
Oh.
I do mine first.
Oh, okay. Housing Operations.
Submitted as written.
Come on, we're a new year. Come on, let's come up with a new line.
No, they just want to make sure you read it. You got it in the book now. You can't say you didn't get it. If you didn't read it, that's your problem.
There you go, there you go. All right, then we're up to admin and finance. Yeah. Don't say Senate.
You better talk about that one.
Okay. So the note that I want to make for the record is, yes, he's our year-end financials, but all of the audits are in process. As Reverend Richardson mentioned, the LHA audit has to be, the unaudited financials gets uploaded into REAC February 28th. But before that, we actually have to send draft audited financials for all of the partnerships. Because those are the private properties that are required to not only have their financials finalized, but also to have their taxes submitted on or before March 21st of the current year. So our focus has been on the partnership. So there is cleanup that still has to be done on the LHA financials. And I just want you to keep that in mind as we're going through them, because they're not going to be final. LHA's financials won't actually be finalized until September of this year, because we're in December 31st fiscal year end, so we have until September 30th to submit audited financials. And all 4 years that I've been here, it's taken that length of time to do it, even when we had more staff. The partnerships, of course, because that's driven by the IRS, those do get in, so everybody's doing the putting full force ahead and getting the audited financials for Colton, Bond, and Barco, Renaissance, and Dakota's submitted. With that, we'll start with the December financials for COCC. Currently, it's showing a negative NOI of $59,176 for the period, negative $37,133 for the year. Again, we're cleaning up the financials, but that really hadn't been our focus, so I can say it still has a lot of work to be done, but we will have better numbers before we do the February 21st audited submission, unaudited submission to REAC. Then looking at Section 8, another AHA department, again, here, financials are in progress, but it hadn't been our top focus as far as the schedule to be submitted. So for the current month, you have a net operating income of $65,887. Year-to-date, net operating income of $320,220. A lot of that is due to we brought on staff at the end of the year, so we didn't quite use up all of the money that we had planned in administration costs with the consultant. But the main thing with Section 8 admin is you need to make sure that it has a positive NOI break-even. Mm-hmm. So, again, we'll have to look to see where it's finalized for the year when we do the unaudited submission, but to find that there's nothing odd about those financials there. The next one is Public Housing AMP 1. It does have a net operating loss of $8,322 for the current month and negative $40,613 for the year to date. On public housing, this is one of the ones where I think the staff has done a tremendous job because of two things that happened during the year. One, we had expenses in 2015 that were actually expensed in 2015. But they didn't get caught in the audited submission. They were missed. So, of course, we closed the year by the time we realized it and made the submission to HUD. So those expenses had to be carried over. That was about, if I look at my notes, $73,000. In addition to that, we also had the opportunity with HUD to pay COCC. We'll recapture management fees that we had not collected for calendar years 2014, 2015, and the beginning of 2016 because HUD was late in publishing the notice. That was another $36,000 that public housing didn't plan on paying for during 2016. It wasn't budgeted. despite that, staff has done a tremendous job of looking at the two losses that they had on the books, one of paying the additional fees of $36,000 to COCC, as well as having to cover the paper loss that will be reported this year for expenses that were expensed out last year but not carried over. So when I look at a negative NOI of $40,613 for the year, and they paid $36,000 they hadn't planned to pay, I think that's tremendous efforts of the staff to say, hey, what can we do to self-perform work instead of getting subcontractors to try to tighten things up. And again, this is public housing portfolio, so we're still, it hadn't been our priority as far as cleaning up the financials, but we're in the process of doing the subsidy submission. That's due to HUD February 7th of this year. With that, we'll do a final look of all of our expenses to see if there's additional money we can ask for, to see if there's some costs that we may have left on the table when we got subsidy for the 2016 calendar year. So that's one of the things that we have staff keeping in mind when they do the submission. And then when I look at the balance sheet of public housing, the cash is consistent, the $1,000,002, with the actual cash position that we're showing on the cash flow statement. Dakota Park is a partnership, so we are in the process of working with the auditor to get the draft submissions to the investor. It has a negative NOI for year-to-date of $20,096. This is also a property that receives subsidy. So it's another one of our sites that we're looking at. Dakota, because it's the number of units that we have, we've always struggled to break even. I don't think we've ever really broken even the whole time, the 4 years that I've been here, but we try to get as close as we can. And each year we try to look at mechanisms to see if there are other add-ons that we can submit for with HUD to try to get additional subsidy. We were successful in getting more subsidy for 2016. And even when you look at the rental income, you'll see that the rental income is 5.65% for the year, higher than budgeted. So they are doing the job of doing collections. They are enforcing if there are damages to units to collect that money. It's just a property that never really cash flowed from the beginning. And then when you look at the balance sheet, they have a total cash of $21,700, and that's consistent with the end of balances for the period and year to date. Renaissance, even though it has a negative NOI for the period due to, again, at year end, you always try to get all your outstanding invoices in. You're tracking down vendors to get everything posted because you don't want it to happen what happened with public housing where expenses get missed and you have to carry them over into the next year. But despite that, their year-to-date NOI before depreciation is $113,798. They're close to the budget as far as collecting the rental income. I don't see anything on the balance sheet that jumps out because the total cash is $1.1 million, which is consistent with the end of balance as shown on the cash statement. Colton Meadows, same thing. They have positive NOI for the period and year-to-date. Colton Meadows has a positive NOI of $75,142 for the year. It's one of the partnerships, so this is one of the financials that we're working with the auditor currently to get finalized and get drafts to the investors so that we'll have it done before March 21st. And the good thing about Colton Meadows is we actually have deferred developer fees that goes to our development entity, Polk County Housing Developers. During December, they actually paid us $35,231 in deferred developer fees. So the outstanding developer fees decreased from $127,415 to $92,184. So that's a good sign because it has our deferred developer fees are actually in basis. When you look at the tax credit submission that was given to the Florida Housing Finance Agency. So anytime you have cash flow to pay deferred developer fees, that means when the investor exits the property, you don't have to come up with a strategy how to pay the fees or jeopardize the investor losing his tax credits over the 15-year compliance period. So Colton Meadows is performing as anticipated. Bonnet Shores, again, is like Colton Meadows. It has, although the NOI was negative for the period, as actual positive of $33,892 for year to date. Bonnet Shores is another property where we have deferred developer fees, and fortunately for Bonnet Shores, they actually were able to pay $70,487 in deferred developer fees. Because they've paid that, they don't owe us any more money. They have completed their commitment of pulling all the deferred developer fees out of the project. So we know with that property, it had the cash flow. They were able to pay off deferred developer fees early. So even though they have a negative cash flow for the current month, it's because they paid off everything they owed to Polk County Housing Developers in deferred developer fees. And then when you look at the balance sheet, they should have about $761,000 in cash. That is the ending cash balance. It's consistent with the cash flow report. And again, when you look at the difference in negative cash between the beginning and ending balances for the month, it's about that $70,000 that they paid us to clear that debt to the Housing Authority on the deferred developer fees.
Could I ask you a question there?
Yes.
On Bonnet Shores, what's the life expectancy of those apartments, you think?
Well, when it comes to the apartments, it really depends on construction. So Bonnet Shores and Colton Meadow was an existing public housing community that we gutted and rehabbed. Mm-hmm. The structure is masonry, so that's mm-hmm. a good thing. I mean, it's much better than if you had a hardy plank or the siding, mm-hmm. vinyl siding. So the question would be, when you look at Colton and Bonnet, I think we tied into the existing sewer system. So that would be the biggest problem that would come up at the end of the compliance period, with that system be able to still be sufficient enough to service the building, considering that we didn't replace it when we rehabbed it the first time.
Yeah. I think what you're asking about how long the building, 30, 40 years. And you have to do some rehab work mm-hmm. during that particular time period. But what Valerie is concerned about is the, and what the investors are concerned about is the tax credit compliance period. Because mm-hmm. when the tax credits run out, that's when your investors exit
exactly
the property.
Right. So what are they leaving us when they leave?
And what we get is we get the units, which we've been managing, mm-hmm. and we've been maintaining the units. Mm-hmm. And so we have the first option to buy those units back from the investor. The rest does not have to sell them to us, but we do get the first option to buy. And normally, and most of the time, they do sell them to the Housing Authority because no one wants, because they just don't perform well. But we've been in the unique position to have our properties that perform well. And so, and we'll try to maintain them, and then we'll probably like convert it like public housing, Section 8, something like that. But a lot of that depends upon what the current president and administration, what direction they're going to take with HUD, and what the market is, and all those types of things. So.
Well, yeah, that's the question. If they get their money out of it 20 years,
well, they
and then
the
they turn
out of it.
Before then,
but then
what do they turn back over to us?
They turn back the property.
I mean, is it?
No.
We own the land, but they own the improvements.
Yeah.
But they turn over the improvements when we take the first right of first refusal. Mm-hmm. Now, the good thing about Colton and Bonnet is they are masonry on the outside.
Right.
So the thing that you will worry about would be the sewage system, the existing, and tying in, and whether or not you would have to replace it at that time or try to do like we did the first time. We did low flow toilets to be more energy efficient to deal with items like that.
Okay. I don't think here in Lakeland that they're gonna be turning over junk. Okay, at least not with Colton and Bonnet.
Did you see what
Dakota might be debatable because it's an older property.
Yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But again, we've been maintaining the properties, and what should we become the owner? Then they probably have a better chance of being maintained as opposed to turning over to a private landlord, because you know how slumlords are. And so it's better for the tax company to be turned back over to the housing, but at least better for the tenants.
Okay.
Because we'll do a much better job of maintaining, at least we have here in Lakeland. So.
Okay.
Because it was built in 82, and then you refurbed about 5 years now?
I'm not sure when.
2009. No, 2011.
Oh, when they originally built, was it 1982?
82.
Yeah, something
like 82.
I don't know.
Yeah.
No, he's right.
Oh, that's what you grew up here, so.
Yeah.
Was 82.
Oh, that's right, yeah. Yeah. Kind of close to
my area. Yeah, exactly. Real close.
Were there any additional questions? Oh, okay. So I'll go on to Wes Bartow. Wes Bartow is like Colton and Bonnie and has a positive NOI before depreciation for year to date. Does have a net operating income loss for the current month. It is another property that was able to pay Polk County Housing Development or deferred developer fees. They paid $50,000 in December to Polk County Housing Developers. But they owe more in developer fees because they're the last property that we redeveloped. So what they owe Polk County Housing Developers was $1,364,369, so the $50,000 only dropped it to $1,314,000. Mm-hmm. So again, they have a while to go in the 15-year compliance period for us to get our deferred developer fees out. But I will tell you, like I will tell a board 10 years from now, Bartow was developed during the subprime mortgage crisis. They got a tax credit award based on a certain dollar on the tax credits. That didn't happen. They had to try to come up with creative ways to keep the deal going so they wouldn't get back the tax credits. One of the things that you have to remember is if you get a tax credit award from a housing agency, the state, and then for whatever reason you're not able to make that deal come to fruition, then they put you on a list and you are prohibited from going after tax credits for a certain time frame. So when you get the award and you accept the award, you got to do everything you can to make sure that you can move forward. And the pro forma that was submitted and accepted at the time that the deal was done showed even if Bartow had 100% occupancy, it was cash flowing the way it needed to be, they would still have $754,000 of that $1.3 million left in the property when the deal was over with. So we know that is one of the properties that we're going to have to come up with an exit strategy of how to get those deferred developer fees paid. We knew that going into the deal. Different administration, but I'm just letting you know for the record. If some of you I know, like we had a commissioner that served on the board a while back, and then they came back years later on our board.
They were all the difference. That commission needs to pay.
But I have to state it for the record because, again, I don't want to mislead you just because everything is going good, right, that you won't have to come up with a strategy 10 years from now. Okay. It's anticipated that you will have to. Every administration has to be aware of that, keep that in mind, mm-hmm, and come up with how we're going to exit. But if you look at the, balance sheet and the changes in cash, the balance sheet shows about $495,000 in cash. $494 is the end of balance on the cash flow, which just lets me know a check cleared between the two reports. But other than that, it's pretty consistent. Hampton Hills has been our unique property because it's public housing, and again, it has negative cash flow. $3,363. I know for the period, and then $149,000 for year to date.
Well, that's $3 million.
I know we were talking about millions of dollars on Bartow, so the million was on the tip. Again, Hampton Hills is one of those problems because of the fact that it is a lease to purchase. We have a contract with HUD to sell the properties. They overpaid us in subsidy in 2015. We did not get any subsidy in 2016. We are not going to get any subsidy in 2017, so that we are extra motivated to sell the last seven houses. And also, just to keep in mind, as we sell the houses, like if you look at the income statement and you look at other income and you see that $123,286, that is the taking those houses off the books from our inventory to the homeowner that we transferred it to, And again, because we did the commitment of what we were going to sell the houses for before the market was turning around, the actual appraised value of the asset that's being taken off the books is much less than what we actually sold it for. But we sold it for the contractual commitment that we made for HUD. There's an exhibit that's attached that shows the address of the house and the sales price. There are two reasons for that. The first is it's affordable home ownership, and if you get higher than the anticipated prices, the person would never be able to qualify to purchase a home. And we're limited to being no more than 80% of AMI for Polk County. So that's why you have a cap of which you can pretty much sell the house for to these families. The other item is because it is an affordable home ownership program, the whole goal is to get low-income families an opportunity to be a homeowner, and you want them to walk away with equity. So that equity went to that individual. You're not putting them in a situation where they will be upside down. So that's also a success story for the program. This is more about getting working families the ability to have a piece of America, not so much about us being the typical home builder where you're in it for the actual cash. So just wanted to make sure everybody's aware. It doesn't matter how we analyze the submission for operating subsidy, we will make a request and it will be denied. So we don't anticipate getting any subsidy for Hampton Hills in 2017. And hopefully our home buying counselor will have the next set of families that will be in a position to go to closing and purchase the houses. The last report is youth bill. It's also a part of the LHA submission. So again, it had been our top priority because we got to get the five partnerships finalized before March. But the NOI is positive for the year to date of $33,491 before depreciation. It is negative for the period. Part of that, when you're looking at the financials, is a timing of the fees that they pay for the director's salary. So they were able to pay us our money. So we've gotten our money for the year out of the grant. We're in the last cycle for Youth Bill 2014. We're basically following. We had the last set of graduates, which was about 57. In December, they did the graduation. Now this is the time where you're using the Youth Bill grant to do follow-up. And the focus will be the 2016 grant that we got, where we're actually recruiting, getting youth into the cycles, trying to either get them a GED or a high school diploma, trying to get them construction experience and or nursing experience or maintenance experience per the requirements of the grant. So we basically have an overlap between this year, between the 2014 grant and the 2016 grant, but the 2014 grant is just follow up on the 57 students that graduated.
That's for
the
year.
That was 2016 grant, that's 2016 grant.
Yeah. The 2016 grant is new. We just got awarded. It was awarded in 2016. The 2014 grant is on its last year, where we'll be providing oversight of the children that graduated from the program.
So the grant for $219,000, that's the grant granted 2016.
Well, that's Ross. The 219 that Reverend Richardson spoke about, that's a different grant. That's actually community service. Youth Bill, it is geared towards families that live in public housing.
Yeah. Ross comes from HUD, Youth Bill comes from Department of Labor.
Yeah, self-sufficiency.
Mm-hmm. With Ross, you don't have to graduate or anything. It's different.
No. Right. Those are just employment assistance, right? Helping them get jobs.
Yes.
Yeah,
making America great again.
Yeah, so what you'll see when you look on the grant report is on the 2016 grant, you'll start seeing expenditures on the $990,024, And then the 2014 grant is $974,124. We'll start splitting the administrative expenses between the two grants. It's $148,009 left in it that'll get us through this year doing oversight of the students who graduated under the 2014 grant. And remember, the 2014 grant started in July of 2014, and it'll end the end of this year. So they have a lot of, we go through cycles to recruit, get them the GED or high school diploma, then we get them job placements, we follow them, and then under a new grant, we do all of that with a whole new set of students. So that's, you'll have that overlap. Does anybody have any questions? Well, that concludes the financial portion of the board report.
Thank you. Okay. Then we're up to the next item, resolutions.
This resolution is with the HR manual. You all have given a copy back in November. Mm-hmm. And basically, the manual had to be updated to comply with federal law, the new change in federal law. And Patrick wanted to confirm that the updates were consistent and in compliance with federal law. So we talked with Paychecks. Paychecks basically confirmed that the changes were okay and in compliance with federal law. And so that's what you have. And the changes, updates are outlined in the narrative in the accompanies the resolution. So, do I have any questions?
All right, you'll be coming to us in March to change it back.
Possibly.
So the resolution is to what?
I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
The resolution is to what? Approve the.
The
to approve, yeah, the updates to the employee manual. I thought the last time we had one, they were approved by board like 2012. So, yeah, over there.
Is that what your question was,
yep.
Reverend Richardson? Mm-hmm. Okay. Then do we have a motion to approve resolution 17-1437?
I move that we approve the resolution that's 17-1437.
Do you have a second?
Second.
Discussion, questions? Okay, roll call.
Commissioner Pimentel?
Aye.
Commissioner Richardson?
Aye.
Commissioner Hall?
Aye.
Commissioner DeSastre?
Aye.
Commissioner Sanders?
Aye.
Commissioner Robinson?
Aye.
And Commissioner Perry.
Okay, resolution 17-1437.
Let me ask you a question on that, just about. You were saying that it's a good chance we would change that again, maybe in March or April or May. Is that just a joke?
It's a joke about the new administration.
The administration might go up and change something.
They're gutting everything, so who knows? They'll just.
It could happen.
You know,
That's right.
Expect everything.
It may be a joke.
It could be. We're hoping it's a joke.
It can happen when any time administration changes.
No, I thought he had some insight because, you know, Trump called a lot of people. And I thought
it could happen.
There you are.
He's from up there. He's from up there where he's from originally, so I mean, they could have been hanging out.
I can tell you secrets about the building,
right?
But I don't have any insight.
Just follow Twitter, that's all.
There you go. I've been in the golden elevators and the glass elevators and the top, and he's a man who loves to keep all his money within his building. That's it. He doesn't share it with anybody, so.
Wow.
He's going to take it away from us. That's all I mean by that.
All right.
So we're up to item number 7, legal report.
Good evening, commissioners. Happy New Year to all. Let me say, for the purpose of the tape, a lot of this stuff was said in jest. We want to keep our funding as we move forward. Be afraid. Be very afraid.
Be cautious.
Yeah, just being cautious. Commissioners, you remember at your last meeting, one of the things that came up was the topic opened with the executive director and whether the executive director was entitled to get a new vehicle every 3 years and whether that was a contractual issue. I indicated at that time that, well, maybe we weren't using my contract because I'm getting old now. Sometimes I forget things. But I didn't think that that was in the contract. So I agreed to send all of you his contract. Hopefully all of you received it. I did at the time remember that under the chairperson at that time and during the time that this contract was being negotiated, that was discussed. It was not something that made the contract simply a discussion item at the time. So I have supplied all of you with a copy of the contract. I would be happy to answer any questions that you may have concerning what's there and what isn't. What is there, though, is the fact that renewal of the contract is coming up this year. So that would be around April. The normal procedure is that since there is a contract in place, the chair would meet with the executive director preliminarily to look over the terms of the contract, see if there's something that needs to be recommended to the board for changes, tweaking, whatever. It would then come back to the board for the board to make final decisions on the contract. So I will be happy to entertain any questions if you have.
I appreciate you getting it to us.
No, that was good.
Yeah, because I don't think I'd actually reviewed it before.
Cleared up a lot of questions.
Okay.
So he'll get back with us at the next meeting.
Well, coming up on April, I think the chair will meet with the executive director again. It's different because we have an existing contract. If we were starting from scratch, that'd be different. And come back to you with whatever the recommendations are. You have the contract yourself. You can look through it and see if you have any questions or think there should be more clarity. It has a provision in the term that says even if it expires, it runs from month to month until there's a new contract, until you decide what you're going to do. So he will still be under contract no matter what, but the goal would be to try to get this done by April, which is the anniversary of the contract, and additionally coincides with the performance review. Had occasion to explain to Commissioner Perry, because she hadn't been on the board before, that the performance tool that we use originally was based on a very kind of standard format that we used everywhere. Reverend Richardson, having the expertise that he had last year, if I remember correctly, did make some suggestions and modifications to the form that we use. And that form would start to go out probably in February at your next meeting to prepare for an April performance evaluation. Not just your housing authority, but unfortunately, traditionally, hitting this on time has been an issue, and certainly we want to try to do that and make sure we stay on time, because not only do you get the performance evaluation and whatever you decide from those results, it's also the time when goals for the upcoming year, agreed upon goals with the executive director, comes up for you all to decide. So there's a lot of activity that needs to happen in and around the April time frame.
Okay. Thank you. Any questions, comments? Now, what did we decide that we're, did anyone, in regards to the vehicle? I know we mentioned it wasn't in the contract, but it was discussed with the former chairperson. So I know we had a chance to review or we've had 2 months to think about it in regards to the replacement of the executive director's vehicle. So what did everyone decide in regards to that?
Well, I can speak for myself. Since we were given the contract, and so we know that it's not in the contract where it says that we're obligated to give a vehicle, I guess the discussion is it needed, you know, for the housing authority? Will it add more value? Is there a lack of resources now that will require an additional vehicle be added to the fleet? Because I think the goal in mind was to have that vehicle transition to a fleet of vehicles.
Into the pool. Yeah.
To the pool, mm-hmm. So that it can be used as a resource, and then the ED will get a new one. So maybe discussing that, is there a need for that to happen? And then is there funding for that? And then, yeah. So I'm open to it. It's just a matter of answering those questions.
I think the existing fleet does have some pretty old cars in it. So...
Yeah, we have 3 cars that are between 15 and 18 years old. And one of the reasons for having to rotate a vehicle with the D was to help replenish the existing fleet, because when I got here, every vehicle was about 15 years old. Mm-hmm. And so we had to replace some, but then the plan was also not, because of the financial situation, was to... You know, purchase a vehicle on ED and then have it fall into the fleet. And to ask a question in our mind, and my staff's opinion, yes, we do need another vehicle in our pool, but the decision is up to you all.
Now, the second part of her questions are if there were funds available
to replace it.
To replace it.
We would have to find the funds, but that's possible, yes.
And would it put us in any position, in a negative position, to?
Not in my view, no.
Okay.
And I think the contract gives options, and it does say automobile supplied by LHA, excuse me, or monthly allowance for a lease of an automobile. And then model term lease to subject, or he can use his own vehicle with monthly mileage allowance. I mean, and like I said, this clarified some of those terms with me. I really appreciate it being forwarded out, and just because I did not even know exactly how the parameters worked on it. So there's some things on the table that we can look at.
Yeah, and everything if I may, at that time, when they looked at it, they saw that the agency purchasing vehicle was the most cost-effective manner mm-hmm. at that time, because there was questions about the amount of car allowances at that particular time, and also the cost of leasing and the like.
Correct, yeah. You're right. I mean, I
think if I remember, it came out way cheaper the way it came out with you with the vehicle. Is it much more cheaper than the old executive director's brilliant vehicle strategy, if you can call it that?
It's safe to say that.
well, for those of you, if I may, Mr. Chairman, who were not on the board, there was a car allowance in place with the former executive director that proved to be controversial.
Right.
I'm just trying to clean that
up. Well, very much publicity about his salary, all his perks and everything else.
Yeah,
and,
yeah.
You know, and I think that's one thing we got the same, where we need to be conscious of that too, because these things are all public records and can come out. So I think those factors. And do we keep travel logs on the vehicle with personal use compared to work use, things like that? I know a lot of times I think they have to maintain that. I think for reporting to IRS actually is a benefit and things like that. I don't know how the infrastructure works, so I mean, I'm just asking questions.
Well, the reporting dollars would also show depreciation for the end of the year, years mm-hmm. to depreciate that vehicle out.
Yeah, right.
Out, completely out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like I said, the infrastructure, it was all done before I was on the board, so I'm not sure how that was all laid out.
I'm not sure about that part of it, but when you bring up personal use, I wanted to make sure that you understood the clarification in this contract, because it's in all the contracts that I do. The executive director is on call 24 hours a day. So that's why it talks about incidental personal use. Incidental personal use would be on the way home if he has to stop off somewhere and do something or pick up something. It may not be directly Housing Authority oriented. That would be incidental personal use. If he decided to take his family to Myrtle Beach for a vacation for 2 weeks. But if he invited y'all, it just would be another story.
For the media to get us.
But if he didn't invite y'all and he took his family to Myrtle Beach for 2 weeks, even though technically he's on call, that would not be acceptable personal use, because obviously he couldn't immediately go to a scene of a hurricane or something of that nature. So no one asked, but I wanted to make that clarification as to why I didn't answer your question, but I wanted to make sure that was on the record.
That's fine.
But that would be required to report that on my taxes. That would answer his question.
Well, no, I just remember one of the trainings that I was fortunate enough to go to in Deerfield Beach. The HUD, the person who was doing the training, you know, that was one of the points she brought up about, and she's actually an ED, and she just said how complicated it gets to report it correctly. You know, then I was like, because she had this little Ford, it was actually the same type of car I had. It was one of those small Ford that I probably weighed more than the car did that I rented to go down there. But she said she does that just because it was so complicated, and the implications of not reporting correctly can get very hairy. So I just remember, and it's probably from her personal incident why she emphasized that in the training I went to. That's the reason that was brought up.
I feel that it will benefit the agency for his current vehicle to go into fleet to be used by the employees, and for him to obtain a new vehicle. As I said, it's beneficial. And if they say the money is there, we're not hurting for the money, I don't see a reason why not. But yeah, that's my opinion in regards.
And I also add to one other reason that is economical to the agency is because we buy the vehicles off of a state contract. So we get them at a wholesale price. Mm-hmm. And so because like a brand new, the same one that I have, $27,000 what we could get it for off the state contract. But if you were to go to a dealer, you know, you're looking at $40,000 or something like that. Mm-hmm. So
that's just not fair. Okay, so I say then, any other comments in regards to it? Do we want a motion that he can, that the agency can purchase that car for him for the use of the executive director and his current vehicle being shifted to fleet?
Okay. Let me mention this. We're talking about another Ford Pinto, not Pinto. We're talking about replacing with another Ford Explorer, right? We're talking about replacing with another Ford Explorer.
Edge, or what is that?
Are we talking about with a Ferrari?
He's an Explorer. Explorer. It'll be the same thing.
Same as.
We could get a brand new Ford Pinto. I'm happy with that. I don't think they have
them. That may be a little tall for a Pinto.
Not just a Range Rover.
Just for the record, we're not talking about Range Rovers. Just for the record, I don't think you can get a Ferrari on a state contract.
Well, he said, as far as I can see, correct? He said, as far as I can see, I don't see no financial problem.
And also, I want to say for the record, I did discuss my use with Brian Limeroff, the auditor for the agency, and he was consistent with how I've been, not consistent, but he was basically stated that how I'm using a vehicle, you know, is in compliance with federal law and the like. And since I don't take those personal trips, when I do take those public trips, I rent my own car, like I buy a plane ticket, you know, for me and my family. And so, and that is reported on my taxes, so I am in compliance with federal law, with the contract, you know, IRS is not beating down my door.
Oh, no. I just remember she emphasized it.
No, no, and also, too, I have a personal account as well.
Yeah, I remember she emphasized
that's
it.
Why I thought she probably doing her own taxes.
Yeah.
Yeah, I let my
she emphasized. I just remember her being in that training, and she emphasized this. I was like,
if you're really trying to document the mileage, it's crazy.
Because I was a consultant before came here, and so I had to document a lot of things and work with, you know, accounting all that, and I still do that to this day.
Okay. Then do we have a motion?
Before we start getting a lot of motions, why don't we just authorize the executive to go out and bring back quotes?
That's what we authorized him. We've
already discussed it, so we've made the decision that we authorize it. We will move the car into the pool once we determine what kind of car he's going to purchase.
Because there's multiple models, too. There's Ford Escapes. Yeah. There's Ford Edges.
You
Ford
Explorers.
You just said
a Ford Explorer.
What the quote I gave you was the state price. That's what through the state. And that's why we have the state contract, because no dealer can match.
So that's a motion. Make that a motion. I move that we authorize the executive director to research another vehicle and bring the... bring in quotes to the board for approval.
Okay. Last second.
I do have a question, though, just about, like, the process of how we procure vehicles for the housing authority. Is it just as it comes up on a need basis when, you know, like, is it set in stone when we should reevaluate the vehicles that we have and try and be proactive about it, or are we just reactive?
I think they've been reacting more lately.
Yeah, so we definitely
have to be proactive. I had to be reactive when I first got here.
A lot of it depends on the finances, too.
And then we are monitoring the use of the vehicles and all of that, you know, because, like, for example, the vehicle that the maintenance staff use, how do we monitor the mileage, and, like, the vehicle that's used to transport the residents, we monitor the mileage and all that, the regular maintenance, all of that.
I think because we had hit a financial position where even if they need to be replaced, we couldn't replace them because we didn't have the finances to replace them. Yeah, so I think rather than a set rule of saying when a vehicle hits a certain age, you roll it over. If we're not financially able to do that, we just run it in the ground. That's all.
And I was going to supplement that. You just said what the caveat is. At other housing authorities, and I'm going to use a larger housing authority that's in the area that has a lot more vehicles. It's still a kind of a reactive anyway, but it has a lot to do with mileage hits.
Right.
That, based on their experience with how much maintenance and warranty and that kind of thing, and I can't tell you what that figure is, what mileage hit it is, but they start looking when it gets close to that.
Yep.
And then they buy as many vehicles as they can at a time. It's still a mileage hit, but they buy as many as they can to buy in bulk. So it's kind of both of them, which may not even be relevant what the mileage is on this vehicle, but, you know.
Yep.
Okay. So can we...
put it to the vote.
Oh, for a motion, yeah. And, I mean, to me, I like to, you know, see, like you said, I know he's got quotes, but I like to, I mean, to me, I know Explorer is one of the higher-end cars. I mean, we may be able to get something done with an Escape or something to do with an Edge or Taurus or different models like that. I mean, I'm just bringing up things. We're talking about money.
But it was the best value.
Well, I mean, a Pinto. Ben may not like a Pinto because they quit making them in 1978. I think it was. That was one of of his first cards when he came on here. But no, I'm just looking at options. If we're looking at options. And then also, then I think in the proposal with the bids, also where we're drawing the funds from.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, that's just...
Well, when I said Penta, I was just kidding. We can't just necessarily get in and out of a small car. I mean, it'll take him too long to get out of it.
Mr. Chairman, we're getting off track.
All right. We have a motion and a second. The motion is for...
Richardson.
I made the motion.
Commissioner Richardson and second by Commissioner.
I'm sorry, I didn't hear this motion.
Well, I was going to say, we have a lot of fun. We need to make sure you know what you're voting on.
Exactly. What's the motion?
To research vehicles
and come back authorized. To bring back a quote.
Yes.
Well, actually, you said research. And
quotes with an S.
I said the researchers.
Yeah. Well, let's get it right. I mean,
bring back quotes.
Yes.
I'd like to see something.
So it was a motion to authorize.
Yes, correct.
To authorize the executive director. To research the replacement and bring a report back to us to vote on.
Got it.
Okay.
I second.
Okay.
So now it's okay.
Okay.
Roll call.
Yes, sir. Commissioner Penn-Mattel.
Aye.
Commissioner Richardson.
Aye.
Commissioner Hall.
Aye, but I thought we all right already.
That's what I was saying. We did that.
When do we know?
It's a vote on the table. Let's finish the vote.
There's a motion and a second.
Aye.
Commissioner DeCesare.
Aye.
Commissioner Sanders.
Aye.
Commissioner Robinson.
Aye.
And Commissioner Perry.
Aye.
Okay.
That's what happened when you left. You forget what we're doing.
Since this is the end of my report, let me say for the record, I didn't make that comment about the IRS either.
They're watching and they're listening. Big brother.
We burned the tapes.
Okay, since I wasn't here for the public forum, did anyone speak at the public forum?
No.
Yes.
Yes.
Reverend
Reverend
Brown.
It was short. Short as we
know. He just thanked us for the good job we're doing.
Don't call him back up.
I know he did.
But in essence, he said, I have not come to throw bombs. I'm giving accolades tonight.
But he also said.
No, I asked because Mr. Brown asked if he could speak for a moment, so I'm asking the board if you wish to allow him permission to speak for 2 minutes to the board.
Hold it.
If you say no, ask me to in the community.
Go ahead, Reverend Brown.
I want to thank you again for allowing me to come forth. I want to say to the board, like any agency, you want to make sure that the person that's out front representing you represents you in style. I would hate to see the ED riding around in a piece of junk representing a multi-million-dollar organization. That's insane. Insane. You know, no organization in this county does that. We need to be above the curve, you know. We need to set the example. You're representing a lot of people in this community. Do it fashionably, reasonably, but make sure that the person that you got leading you sets the pace. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Brown.
Thank you, Mr. Brown.
Okay. Now, we're up to item number 8. Other business HOA response, or did you do that?
We haven't done it yet.
Oh, okay.
We have to have a presentation. And we emailed it to you all.
Yes.
It's 88 pages long. That's why we try to save trees. But, Ms. Robinson, you will get a paper copy to take with you. And I say that because you are neighbors.
Mm-hmm.
And you hear a lot of the complaints, but any other commissioner that wants a paper copy, you know, we'll get it to you. But just for tonight, like that interest saving trees, we wanted to, because Valerie got it that she's going to do the presentation and bring her update, that we think we have, we've been working and researching on the item, and we think we have a good plan that will solve some, at least the major, what I view the major issues with the homeowner association. And with that, I'll turn over to Valerie.
I need to be excused. I'd like to hear your presentation, but I'm late for a meeting at the church. I have to keep the money, so I got to be there.
If you have the money, I'm going with you.
Okay. Valerie, I'll catch up on your report.
Oh, okay.
So is that the report there?
Yes.
I need to leave also. Could I have that part of?
Oh, okay. You can have the whole thing. I'll go off from memory.
But no, go ahead. I say, Rich, I get the report from Brother Rich.
Okay. What I did is wanted to bring you up to date on the fact that there is a declaration of restrictive covenants that governs Renaissance. The Lake Ridge Homes neighborhood is a part of that declaration. So one of the key things that we needed to point out in response to residents' concerns about the HOA. There are only two neighborhoods in this 88-page document for Renaissance. That is the Washington Oak neighborhoods, which is the rental piece, and then you have Lake Ridge neighborhood, which is the 40 lots, of which 20 were developed by the Lakeland Housing Authority, and then we got permission from HUD to let an additional 20 lots be developed by Habitat. They developed 19 houses. They still have one lot that's vacant. So when it comes down to when everybody talks about HOA fees, I think we have consistently made the mistake since I've been here in 2012 of saying Lake Ridge HOA because that's a homeowner's piece. It is a neighborhood. The only association that exists for this neighborhood is the Renaissance and Washington Ridge Master Association. Both the investor with the rental properties as well as the developer with the 15 lots that are vacant and the homeowners all pay their fees to the Masters Association. If they choose and they follow to go through the process that I got highlighted in response to the letter of the declaration, they can amend their declaration to allow them to do additional things. But right now, as it's written, they pay into the Renaissance at Washington Ridge Mass Association, and I caution you because I know many of the homeowners, because they're at the Renaissance location, they're within the Paul A. Diggs overall community that you serve in a different capacity. If they decide to do that and have their own HOA, they're still going to owe fees to the Mass Association, which is why all of our predecessors just have everything going to the Mass Association. The Mass Association assesses every lot owner that's in the property. There's a different fee that's paid for the rental units versus the fees for the homeownership lot. Now, the second concern that they had was what was happening with their money because they paid $44.09 a month in association fees. If 100% of that was collected, you'd have roughly $20,000 in revenues to pay for expenses. That would include lawn maintenance, insurance, you have the street lights on the home ownership portion of the property. Also, if you have a board of directors, you have to have insurance that covers them, the operations, etc. So, but the main item, if you look at responsibilities of the Masters Association to each individual lot owner, whether that is the rentals with the investor or the individual homeowner, the only responsibility is to maintain the lawns. That's the only responsibility. So that's what the 4409 is. The contract to cut the grass is $19,002. So you basically have a little over $1,000 to pay for everything else. Their fees used to be higher. They were paying initially when the association was first formed $85 a month, and then it dropped down to $65. I don't know exactly when that happened because, again, that happened prior to me getting here. And then January 1st of 2015, we dropped it to 4409 because we negotiated to give the Lakeridge Center back to the city of Lakeland to pull the operations of that building outside of their association fees. So the next concern that they had is they wanted to get security. Some of them wanted fences along North Florence. That was an item that they brought up in January 2016 at that board meeting. They brought it up again about the fences. The other thing was they felt like, especially during times we have the games at the stadium, people park, walk across the yards. They wanted to have some type of security. Well, if you got $1,000 left over for the year, you with just cutting the grass, you really don't have the funds to do that. So what has to happen is you have to go by the processes within the declaration to actually have an increase in the assessment because legally the only thing the association is supposed to do is maintain the lawns. To say now you want to add security, you've actually got to go through a process, get 50% of the property owners to vote and agree that they want to add security for special assessment and will agree to increase in fees. Also, we have a problem with collections. So what we've had to do is actually get with legal counsel to send out notices and to file liens.
When you say we, do you mean the housing authority or Habitat?
I'm saying the board of directors, which right now currently you have two homeowners that live in the Lake Ridge community that sits on the board of directors, and then you have Mr. Stevenson, Carlos, and I also sit. So we actually send out, we actually collect the association fees, then we send out notices to people who are delinquent. We let them know, we let everybody know what they paid, we give them a receipt for their payment. We also let them know whether or not they're current or they're delinquent.
And you're doing that as the board of the HOA?
Yes, as the board of the HOA.
So the money does not go to Habitat?
That's a different situation. Oh. Habitat, okay. You have to remember the Masters Association, mm-hmm. all we do is collect in as it relates to, we're supposed to provide services, maintaining the lawns for all the lots, mm-hmm. whether it's rental or home ownership. The fee is, for the home ownership piece, $44.09 a month. Habitat for Humanity, they own the, from my understanding, we don't have a copy of it because our mortgage is not with them. Our only responsibility, going back to the memorandum of agreement between the Housing Authority and Habitat, was that we were going to get permission to convey 20 lots to Habitat for Humanity for them to finish out the development, that portion of the development. What they did is, it from talking to the residents, I cannot say that I looked at paperwork to confirm, but they're holding the mortgages. So as a part of their mortgage, the resident has to pay for all these different services that they're getting for Habitat. For instance, Habitat goes ahead, they know our association fee is $4,409. They actually have that as part of their mortgage. How I feel pretty confident about that is when we decrease the association fee from $65 a month to $44.09 a month, Habitat calls and said, we have to know that. We need to know that because we need to redo their mortgages to decrease the amount we're taking from. So I said, oh, okay, so what they're telling me is probably true. They are holding the mortgage. The issue where I think there has been so much confusion is that there are other things that Habitat is providing, like pest control. That is not a part of the association. The individual homeowners that purchase their houses from Habitat thinks that the Masters Association is responsible for doing the pest control as well as the landscaping. They think we're supposed to provide security. If that's something Habitat committed, Habitat has to give that to them, especially if they're taking it out of the mortgage. But legally, what's in this declaration, which is filed in the courthouse, yes, it's old because it's dated 2006. The only thing the Masters Association provides is lawn service. Anything else has to be done as a special assessment, and they have to go through the process as outlined by this declaration. To try to solve the situation, there are two items that has to happen. First, unfortunately with Habitat, they get behind in paying. We actually have to send a letter from legal counsel to get them to pay. So part of the reason why you have all these legal expenses is because they won't really be responsive or hadn't been responsive without receiving a letter that we filed a lien on the property and that we're going to take further action if they don't have the fees for those 19 houses brought current. The one lot, even though they're supposed to pay an assessment, and I tell you that page 22, article 11.2.2.2 outlines that they have to pay for a vacant lot. Just because the lot's not developed doesn't mean you as the owner doesn't have to pay. They've never paid an assessment from going back through our files. In the financial software, they've never paid an assessment on that one lot. In an effort to minimize all of the costs, our next monthly meeting for the association is Monday a week from today, which is January 30th. At that time, Mr. Stevenson, Carlos Pizarro, and I will resign our positions. We will appoint homeowners that live in the Lake Ridge community that have been active and want to participate on the board to fill those three positions. So the full board will be transitioned over to the directors, and those directors will actually be people who live in the community that are homeowners. And it's key because you realize that Renaissance at Washington Ridge is coming to the end of its compliance period. We have the option to exercise the first right of first refusal. You definitely want to make sure that those homeowners are involved because depending on whether or not the housing authority decides it's in its best interest to exercise its first right of first refusal, we may or may not be involved after the investor can exit the property. The other item is, once they get control over the board of directors, then they can make a decision on how they want to move forward with collections, and it takes out the gray area of everybody thinking that Lakeland Housing Authority is this association. If you look at this Declaration of Restricted Covenants, we are the developer. At the time, we didn't have Polk County Housing Developers. We are nothing more than the developer of the lots, and we had the initial draft of the declaration that was recorded in 2006. Well, we've also gone out, thanks to Lori, because she's put a lot of sweat and hard work into the association. And she actually went to a home show. She found out that there is a group called the Condo Coaches that actually do pro bono work. They have attorneys to help condo associations, HOAs, co-ops, and then this kind of gray area, master's associations, go through their problems. So they've agreed to come to the meeting. They've been to the other meetings. We've had three meetings with them and the homeowners that live in Lake Ridge. They've been to all three. They're coming to Monday's meeting. Once these families have their individuals that sit on the board and all five board members are owners of the individual single-family homes of the Lake Ridge community, then they will advise them on what they need to move forward. They have read the declaration. They're going to make some recommendations. They're going to do a pro bono so that we don't incur any more legal expenses, and then they'll move forward to how they're going to actually collect. So I just want to give you this so you can go through and you'll have, and it's highlighted. Well, you have the summary sheet with the backup where all of the legal stuff and the process is there.
You can swap with the Brenda gave him a copy.
Oh, well, it's highlighted too because I highlight if she printed it.
No, take his back in because it didn't look like
it. Yours is in color. Her number may not be in color.
I could check. Oh, yeah, it's highlighted.
It's highlighted.
So that way you can easily follow if you decide to come Monday, you can easily follow what the condo coaches are telling them and showing them, because they're actually going to have to, there's several steps that they're going to have to go through. I can tell you if they're going to add security, they will not be paying $4,409 a month because it's not even really sufficient to take care of the lawn service. So these are things that they're going to have to look at and evaluate.
if the question were to come up as to where the balance of the funds are, would that be in Habitat or would it be in this operation?
Okay, we're going to, when we do the transition, we're actually bringing them all the financials so they know where they stand. They will know at the end of 2016 all of the funds that were collected. They will get a summary report because, again, you have confidentiality issues that board members have to sign a confidentiality clause. Anybody that have outstanding association fees will be lumped in, so they'll know that X amount is delinquent and have to be collected. I can tell you for all the properties that are delinquent, liens have been filed on the property, so they are positioned to make decisions on how they're going to pursue it. So when you look at the report, yes, the financials will be there, but as far as the individual lots,
right,
that's going to be lump sum. Right. Okay. Only the probably whoever who will be chosen as the chair will be the only one that the attorney will actually give the information on the detail of the individual lots from the registers that we provide. And then we'll also have to go through insurance because the benefit of having a housing authority staff on the board of directors is our insurance is already covered through Farming. But since they are not housing authority employees, we're going to have to help them shop and get insurance. They're going to actually have to put out bids within the next 90 days to get someone else to do lawn service. All of this to start a clean state and get a clean slate and get pricing. So it could be that when it's all said and done and they actually get bids for lawn service, it may be that they have to charge more than $4,409. It probably will be that they're going to have to charge more than $4,409 or make a decision like we tried to get them to do in 2015 to remove lawn service from the requirement. But when we tried to do that in 2015 and we did secret ballots, people recognized that they were getting a deal to get the grass cut for $4,409, and you had more people come back saying they wanted it cut than saying that they didn't want the service, they'd rather pay the $4,409.
Okay. Go ahead. I got a lot of questions. We just don't have time.
Well, I think you...
If you like, we can make an appointment with you.
Yeah. Because they're coming up short as far as full knowledge as to what's going on. And they need, we're going to need, not just they would need, I would need the training also to know, because they're constantly calling me about things that I have no knowledge of.
Well, the good thing is with the free training that was available, because remember, part of Lori going to the trade show was that she found out about free training for board of directors. We did have one person that did show up to the free training. He was asking a lot of questions. He was taking notes, so I'm sure he'll have a lot of questions coming in, and I think he's one of the people that contacts you on a regular basis. But also, there are two things you have to be clear about. We do not have a copy of their mortgage with Lakeland Habitat for Humanity. So all the things that they committed to them that they're taking out of their mortgage, we're going by what they're telling us, but we've never seen it. Now, with the board of directors being the actual homeowners, if what they are getting taken out of their mortgage is not consistent with the services,
right,
it's going to be harder to tell them why they're taking them within us, because again, we're another agency. Mm-hmm. They know we're not privy to the information, and they say, "Oh, you get plenty of money, so why, you know, why do we need to pay?" Whereas when they realize that the board has fully transitioned to the individuals that have mortgages in that property, then they know what's in their mortgage. They know what they're being charged for. They'll actually see all the expenses, because what's happening, if you look at the balance sheet, the cash flow, and the income statement for the Masters Association, even though we post invoices, for instance, we pay legal fees, we have to pay them. The association doesn't have enough money to pay. You know who eats that? Non-federal, which is the development team, which is why I don't have a development assistant. That's why, you know, I'm the person that has to do it. So again, I'm extra motivated to make sure that they collect, because I'm the only one with non-federal funds to cover the shortfall. And again, development can't continue to cover the shortfall, because that means I can't hire staff. And then it also means if we choose not as an agency to exercise first right of first refusal, then it leaves them in a bad position.
Okay. Two questions I need to know. One, you said that once the three of you guys leave the board, you would appoint three people. The board don't have the option to elect three people?
We had elections. We had elections. Oh, yeah. We had elections. But when people don't show up for elections, and one of the things that we're going to bring up with the directors, that we found out that the reason why people aren't showing up is because a lot of the homeowners work at night. Well, the meeting's at 6 o'clock. We were trying to hold them during the day, but we were told that the better town was having them at night. So I think one of the things that need to be brought up with the new directors, because we would have loved to have them during the day, because that's work hours, not go after work to go to the association, is to make the recommendation if they want more participation, especially if they're going to try to get special assessment to include more services in the Declaration of Covenants, to actually amend the Declaration, to bring it up to date to all the things they're trying to do. They're going to have to at least have a 50% vote. So they're going to have to switch the meetings to a time where they would have the most participation.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay. Well, thank you. Then if there's no other questions, then...
I had a couple things. Real short. One, I haven't traveled in probably 3 years because I know we were sort of budget, but there was some training I was wanting to attend. In the past, I know your previous assistant booked the reservation for us. Is that still how it works?
Yes.
Okay, I just didn't know if anything had changed. Like I said, I haven't done
just three. Just let us know. Shoot us an email or call Brenda.
All right. No, I just didn't know that we need to do it on our own or not. So. Yeah.
Sorry we missed the inauguration for you.
Huh?
Because look at all this.
I know. Actually, my daughter got tickets to go to that.
Really?
Yeah, but she did not go because the person she wanted... Right. Did not win, so. But anyway, that's her choice. The other one was, is there any way we could get, and this is just more of a housekeeping, manila folders that we can, because these things slide all over my car. That's what I'm reading. Well, it would help, definitely. I mean, but it just for the future, because that's one reason I took the book home a couple times, is because I was taking it out once I got home and put it in the house. And this would just help me. And cool, but I appreciate that. It's just more housekeeping. And,
does anybody else need one? A manila folder.
And then I could just mark what it was.
And I have one. I have one question.
One more?
I have one.
Oh, okay.
Go ahead. Just want to remind the board that in, I think it's in November, when you voted on the schedule of meetings for this year, that due to, I think it's President's Day, next month of February, that you moved the board meeting to February 27th.
Yep.
Okay.
27th?
Yes, February 27th. 6 p.m.
I probably will not make that one. Okay. That's my anniversary. I don't thank my wife.
Well, you might want to meet me.
Unless I can bring her hair. I can bring her hair.
You can bring her.
I thought I should have bought her.
You see, I got you beat. My anniversary is my birthday, so I don't have to tell her nothing. It's my birthday.
She was your gift.
You know, you must know my wife, because she keeps using that. I don't care. I tell her I was late to my wedding.
Thank you, Brenda.
I'll put that on. I was watching the Portland Trail Blazers play the guitar jazz.
Brenda, yeah, I think want to be good.
Have this meeting get over quickly so we can cut this tape off, please.
The next meeting.
Father's Day. You didn't know you were right. I don't want you to tell.
Did he get the gavel?
Oh. Meeting adjourned. Thank you.
The meeting is now adjourned at 7:30, 7:40.
2:27.
Let me put that down.
Right now, I need two. Thank you. Yeah, you got two.
Appreciate that.
Okay. Thank you.